You're listening to The Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Doug Haldeman. I'm here with my co-host, Tammy Haldeman.
Boy, is this good stuff or what?
Yes, it is. And I also want to welcome back Gay Hendricks, the author of The Big Leap, teaching us how to conquer our hidden fears. Welcome back, Gay.
Thank you. Thank you. Great being with you.
Not only the author of The Big Leap, but the author of many other best-selling books. So I'd love to hear more about those if we have a little bit of time at the end. So let's jump right into you, because we've talked about this upper limit issue. And one of the concepts you touch on in the book is Einstein time versus Newtonian time. And I have to tell you, like, I got the book, you know, the written copy, but then Tammy and I had downloaded the audio also.
Yep.
And I had to listen to that quite a few times before I started to get it.
I totally changed my whole thing with time. I caught how often I said that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't have time.
So
yeah.
Describe that for us, Gay. What does that mean, Einstein time and Newtonian time?
Yes. Well, Sir Isaac Newton and Albert Einstein came kind of like, Sir Isaac Newton came up with this wild set of concepts that were radical for his time. And then Einstein came up with a wild set of concepts that was radical for his time. They were a couple of hundred years apart, though. And so Newton, everybody knows about Newton and the apple, where he was sitting under an apple tree and the apple fell, and gravity and those kinds of things. But one thing he did was come up with a way of looking at the universe like it was a big clock. And the reason he saw it that way, I think, is because clocks had been recently invented, and it was kind of the coolest technology of the time. It's just like now you might use the example of a computer. Well, and say our minds work something like a computer, the world works something like a computer. But in Isaac Newton's time, it was the clock. And so he came up with this kind of tick-tock version of the universe that everything, for every action, there was an equal and opposite reaction.
Mm-hmm.
And so in his version of time, time proceeded in a very linear way, whereas Einstein came along and said, wait a minute, our experience of time works very differently based on the experience we're having. And he came up, his example was, he said, if you're sitting on a hot stove, a minute feels like an hour. But if you're with your beloved, if you're with your girlfriend or your spouse or your beloved, an hour can go by and it feels like a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And
true.
So what is the difference there? Well, the difference is that when you're with your beloved, you're expanded. You want to be participating in every moment. You want to be there fully with every cell of yourself. Well, in that state of consciousness, time goes by very quickly. But if you're doing something you don't like to do, let's say you don't like manual labor, but for some reason you have to dig a hole in the ground for a couple of hours in the hot sun. Well, after an hour or so digging a hole in the ground in the hot sun, you're probably going to be, I'm not liking what I'm doing here. And so you contract. And as a result of contracting and not participating in the moment, not being present, time slows down. So it feels like you're out there digging in the sun for hours and hours and hours.
Yes.
So, in other words, we have a control over how our experience of time is based on how open we are to being present in this moment. And so Einstein time gives you a real different way to approach time by realizing that you're the source of time. You're where time comes from. And the big thing to do is to stop complaining about time and just make up as much of it as you need to do the things that you love to do.
Right.
So with that concept, one of the things that I had to stop doing that you recommended in the book, Tammy and I started creating some accountability between us, is to stop saying, I just didn't have time to do it.
Right.
I don't have time for that.
Yeah. I changed a whole email yesterday. I started to say I didn't have time. I go, it wasn't important at that moment. You know, I had to shift it in my head what excuse I was making.
Right. More about priorities.
Yeah. It was about a priority. And that's how I had to reword the email.
Well, and your story in the book about the kid coming in that wants to play baseball. Tell that story.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
Do you remember that story in the book, Gay?
I do, but I'd love to hear you tell it. I'd like to hear how your version of
the interpretation.
Well, just if your kid comes in and they want to go throw the ball out in the yard, mm-hmm. and you're working on something, no, I really just don't have time. But then that same kid comes in with their knee bleeding. Do you have time? Well, yes, you do. So did you really not have time to go out and play baseball? Well, yes, you did. You just chose not to.
Right.
It was just a case of priorities.
Well, great. I love the way you interpreted the story, because that's exactly what I had in mind.
Good.
And by the way, while we're on the subject, I want to appreciate you, too. It's quite a luxury for me as an interviewee to be talking to two people who have actually read the book. You wouldn't say how many times I've been interviewed on radio and television about a book that the interviewer hasn't read.
Oh, right.
So thank you.
You're
really
welcome.
I appreciate that. Okay, so let me zero in on this Einstein time, because what it makes available, if you can stop complaining, like I learned when I stopped complaining about time,
mm-hmm.
my life changed overnight, because
yep.
I stopped being in the victim position
yep.
with time. I stopped saying,
absolutely.
I don't have enough time, or, oh, I got to run right now, or I wish I could talk to you, but I got to run. I must have said that 500 times to people in my life before I caught on to Einstein time. And then one day I realized, wait a minute, it's not that I don't have time. I just don't want to talk to that person.
You know,
and that was a huge...
I'm laughing inside, because that's been my story through my entire adult life. Is that
uh-huh.
I don't have time. I'm just too busy.
I'm just
always running around frantic.
Yeah, exactly. And so as long as you go around proclaiming that you're the victim of time, you'll have either too much time, you'll be bored, or you won't have enough time, you'll be in a hurry.
Okay,
and so the one solution to that is to get underneath that and realize that you make up as much time as you need and want to do the things that you really want to do. Wayne Dyer, a friend of mine, says, you'll never have enough money to do all the things you don't want to do, and you'll never have enough time to do all the things that you don't want to do anyway.
Right. Very true.
I love it. Wayne Dyer is one of Tammy's favorites.
Yep, he is.
Yeah, great guy.
Okay.
And the thing is to stop complaining and stop portraying ourselves as a victim of time. And that leads directly to what I think the big payoff is in the big leap, for taking the big leap, and it is you get to discover your own zone of genius.
Right.
Beautiful.
Right.
One of the key concepts in the big leap is that each one of us has a zone of genius inside ourselves where we're really operating with our set of unique abilities. So one of the things that every successful human being needs to do is ask yourself, what is my unique ability? What is it that I bring to the business, or bring to my marriage, or bring to life that is my particular way of doing things, that's my genius? You got to look for that, because if you don't bring that forth, there's always going to be a part of yourselves that isn't quite satisfied.
In the book, you talk about the four zones you identify: the zone of incompetence, the zone of competence, the zone of excellence, and the zone of genius. And recognizing the difference between the zone of excellence and the zone of genius is where I have some challenges. How do you recognize the difference between those two?
Pretty much everybody in your situation, Doug, you're a successful business person, but you're always looking for ways to be even more successful and help more people. And so one of the things that you have to do in that kind of a situation is identify whether you're operating merely out of your zone of excellence, where you're doing things that you're good at, or are you operating out of your zone of genius, which is when you're doing things that you are uniquely supposed to be doing, that there are certain things that you can do in your organization that nobody else can do, and those are the things that you need to be focusing on. You know, like I have an apps business. One of my businesses, Supermind Apps, is, you can look it up, supermindapps.com. You can go there and get apps for your iPhone on a number of different areas, like relationship areas and success and things like that. So Supermind Apps is a business of mine that makes a lot of apps. And one of the things that we find is the people that use our apps are often people who are extremely successful already, but they want that little extra edge of learning how to operate in their zone of genius. And so for me, in that business, I operate in my zone of genius. I don't try to run the business. I have an administrator who runs the business because I'm not any good at running businesses. What I'm good at is thinking up the ideas to put in those apps. That's the thing that nobody else but me and the organization can do. So I put my attention on that, and I let other people handle the administration of it, the programming of it, the marketing of it, those kinds of things, and I stay in my zone of genius. Same thing in the Hendricks Institute. My wife, Katie, is a genius at organizational kinds of things. She's just super good at putting things like that together. She's also a great writer, too. We've co-authored 9 or 10 books together. But one of the things she's great at that I'm not a genius at is organization. And so you wouldn't believe how beautifully, like, she just came back from doing a seminar series in mainland China. And there's a sponsor over there that we have that sets up all the seminars and everything like that. But one of the things that Katie does is she organizes them so well and so easily that she just gets off the plane in China and it's like stepping onto a conveyor belt. You know, she goes around from one place to the other and does her seminars and has the meetings she needs to have and everything because she has hired people that are geniuses at organization to do the groundwork for her.
Right. Take care of all things.
If you're a genius, you can call forth the genius of other people, but if you're not using your own genius, you can't call forth the genius of people on your team because you don't know how to do it yourself. So one of the greatest gifts that you guys can give, for example, to your new family that's coming together here, the 8 kids and your business as well, is you can get busy about getting in touch with what your own genius is as a way of inspiring those kids and the people you work with to get in touch with their genius.
I love it. Author Gay Hendricks from The Big Leap, helping us conquer our hidden fears and find that zone of genius, find our true unique ability. Gay, I really appreciate you calling in today. Incredible material. Love the book. And it's something I'm going to be continuing to go deep with on a personal level. And I hope that all of our listeners are going to buy the book, too. And the best place to get it is what's the best source to be able to find the book?
Well, it's available at all the online booksellers, of course, Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com. Most good bookstores will have a copy of it out there, so it's also available on downloads now, too, with Kindle and Nook and all the other digital downloads.
And audio
and
also.
Every moment you have the opportunity to just, in life, asking yourself, what is my genius? What is it I'm uniquely supposed to be doing here? That will really, really help you, whether you're 5 years old or 55 years old or 75 years old.
I love it, Gay. Well, thank you very much for calling in. We're going to have to wrap up, but really enjoyed it, and we'll have to continue the conversation again next time we get another one of your books. So thank you.
All right. Very good. Blessings to you.
So just a reminder for you, next Sunday at 4 p.m., you won't want to miss the Doug Haldeman Show here on FM News Talk 97.1. Becoming a financial juggernaut is as simple as listening every Sunday at 4 p.m., modeling the advice of the experts, and implementing your personal plan. See you next week.